Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. And I'm instituting a new national holiday, calling it National Youth Ministry Day, because it is June 7th, otherwise known as 6-7. Ha ha ha, I know. I had to. It was an intentional choice to make today Senior Sunday. But I just want to thank you all for joining us for church this morning. We just got done wrapping up a series on mental health and just the beauty that can be found through the struggles of that. We've covered a lot of difficult topics, a lot of challenging and stressful things, but we've always been able to come back to there is hope at the end, which is just a beautiful message that Robin has been delivered, Robin has been delivered, amen, but that Robin delivered for us. But we also want to talk about what is that hope. We have hope, and I feel like sometimes that can be a church buzzword where we don't really define it. And I'm not going to define it today, but I do want to talk about a part of that hope, and part of that hope is that we are made for more. We are made for a purpose. Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord has made everything for his own purposes." Everything, from the smallest molecule to the biggest elephant, to the biggest whale, to everything in the universe, everything has been made for his own purposes. And that includes you. Every single one of us has a purpose to fulfill. It's God's purpose. We are alive to fulfill God's purposes. We're not just meant to coast our own way through life. We are made for more than survival. You know, talking about living with purpose versus living without purpose. Living without purpose is when you are just spending day after day after day rotting on the couch, scrolling on TikTok, scrolling on Instagram. You're wasting your time. And here's the thing. I love rot days. I love me a good rot day. I could watch a movie for 8 hours a day, like movie after movie after movie in one day, and I have no problem with it. But when me and my dad tried to watch all 8 Harry Potter movies in one go, I was like, all right, I got to do something with my life. I tapped out before he did. There's a difference between living with purpose and living without purpose. And I have a feeling that you all know that. You all know that we have to have some kind of a purpose in life. But you all also ask a question, no matter how old you are, no matter if you're old and ancient like Robin, or you're young, spunky, and free-spirited like me. I love you. I love you. Come back. I'm done. I'll stop picking on you. John's next. I'll get John next. But we all ask the same question. Not do I have a purpose, but what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Is it work? Is it family? Is it school? Accomplishments? Well, first I want to tell you that we are made for more than accomplishments. And there's a great movie that helps explain that. I'm sure some of y'all saw us testing the clip. How many of you have heard of Dead Poets Society? Raise your hand. Okay, youth group, we're going to work on that. It's an amazing movie, but I want to show a clip right now.
Words and language,
no matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world. I see that look in Mr. Pitt's eye, like 19th century literature has nothing to do with going to business school or medical school, right? Maybe. Mr. Hopkins, you may agree with him thinking, yes, we should simply study our Mr. Pritchard and learn our rhyme and meter and go quietly about the business of achieving other ambitions. A little secret for you. Huddle up. We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race, and the human race is filled with passion. And medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. Poetry, beauty, romance, love, the These are what we stay alive for. To quote from Whitman, O me, O life of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, what good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. Will your verse be?
So some context for that clip. Students who haven't seen that movie. This is a movie about this high school where it's like a preparatory academy. It's very, you know, you got to make sure you wear your tie right. You got to make sure you get good grades. You got to make sure that you have all A's. Go to medical school. Go do all these things. And then this English teacher comes in and he's like, no, there's so much more to life than that. And I'm realizing as we were watching that clip, it's the same exact premise as Footloose. It's a great, great theme. There is more to life. You can dance and it's okay. But I liked his message there. He's not saying, you know, flunk all your classes, anything like that. And I'm never telling you this either. But there is more to life than just our accomplishments. And in the movie, they're waking up, they're finding their passions, and they're pursuing them. Theater, music. And these are good things for them to pursue after. And you may be asking, Jake, didn't you just say, like, accomplishments aren't something that we should seek out? And you are so right. These things in the movie, they can be good for a while, but they will never sustain us completely. They will only get us so far in life, but they'll never fulfill us wholly. And the author of Ecclesiastes is helping disciple someone discovering this idea. And a lot of you may know Ecclesiastes, isn't that the like emo, early grunge, everything is meaningless, nothing has a point. Yes, but no. It's so much deeper than that. So, the author of Ecclesiastes, we're not 100% sure about who it is, but for this sake, we're going to assume it's Solomon. There's a lot of context and a lot of evidence to support that. And Solomon is writing to a younger king, someone who is about to be a ruler. And he's helping him explain, hey, here's some, you know, words of wisdom, some advice that you need to know about ruling. Which, note for you guys, listen to your elders. Okay? I can tell when you're paying attention in class or not. But he is writing to this younger person about how do you be a leader. And throughout the book, we find out that the author has spent his entire life finding out, what is my purpose? And he comes to the realization that life is short or temporary. It's meaningless. But youth group, what is the word in Hebrew? Say it louder. Hevel. So we've been going through Ecclesiastes on Sunday morning classes. The word is hevel. And instead of meaningless, how a lot of translations use it, it closer translates to smoke or breath or wind. I was calling Jeff Wallen earlier this week, and he was like, I forgot to bring my matchbook up with me, but light a match, blow it out, and try and catch the smoke. Because that's what it's like. Life is temporary. And he said, you know, I tried to find pleasure in self-indulgence. Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 4 says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does my pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. He realized self-indulgence isn't fulfilling. Okay, well, if it's not self-indulgence, if it's not pleasure, then maybe it's work. Ecclesiastes 2, 22 through 24 says, what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot reset. It's all meaningless. So I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. Okay, it's not pleasure, it's not food and drink or anything like that, but it's also not work. And in that same verse, you know what he says? You know, find enjoyment in food and drink and all that. Okay, well, and when I say food and drink, I mean self-sustainment, things that sustain your life. Okay, a little confusing, but I get what he's saying. This is temporary. Okay, well, maybe if it's we're working towards a goal, maybe it's wealth. Ecclesiastes 5:13. There is another serious problem I've seen under the sun. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Okay? Self-indulgence isn't fulfilling. Work isn't fulfilling. Wealth and pursuit isn't fulfilling. Well, Jake, maybe this is just one guy. This is just one guy who doesn't really know what he wants to do in his life. Well, think about some people who did know what they wanted to do. Look back in Genesis at the Tower of Babel. They had a goal. They had a purpose. But how did that turn out for them? We got a whole bunch of new languages because of it, okay? Well, what about the Israelites at Mount Sinai? You know, they were waiting there, ready to worship God. Then they were waiting and waiting, like, oh, you know what we'll do? We'll build a golden cow and worship that. Just while we wait, okay? How did that turn out for them? Think about Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus. The man who was so centered on himself and self-indulgence that he gave up his teacher, his mentor, for the sake of gold and silver. They're blind. They don't know what they're doing. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And the way I want to reword that is, when there is no purpose, there is no self-control. There is no conviction. There is no boundaries. There is no vision. I think about my own life. When I was in high school in my early years of college, and I was just focused on, hey, enjoy life. And while we should enjoy life, you know, maybe not as reckless as me. I drove an excavator that I probably shouldn't have in college. I stayed out past curfew in college. In high school, I hung out with friends that I probably shouldn't have, but I was just enjoying life. But you know what I found out after trying all of that? Meaningless. It's all meaningless. So where do you start finding your purpose? If it's not work, if it's not goals, it's not yourself. It all starts with this. It all starts at the foot of the cross. The cross provides clarity about who we were. Romans 5, it explains to us that while Christ died, we were still sinners. While he is up on that cross saying, they are worth it, Lord, forgive them for they don't know what they do, we were still sinners. It provides clarity about who we were beforehand. But the cross also shows us who we can be. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we are a new creation with a new purpose. Provided clarity about who we were. Shows us who we can be. And it shows us a new goal to strive after. Matthew 5:48 says, we therefore must be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We weren't just made for more. We were made to be more. We were made to be more. It starts at the foot of the cross. And when we've experienced the cross, our lives and our desires start to change. We get a new focus. And when I say that, I don't just mean focus about what I'm trying to do. I mean like focus on the world around us. We start to realize things. Oh, this thing in my life, that doesn't really fulfill me. That doesn't really honor God. I don't really have a desire to do that anymore or to hang out with those people anymore. I want to hang out with these people who are spiritually fed, the people who are chasing after God. I spend a little too much time on Instagram reels, but thankfully they're Christian reels. And one that I saw is, one of the most attractive things that a person can have is their love for God. And I think that's so true. It is just attractive, and we want to be like that. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 says, it's a prayer that Paul prays, that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power. We get a new focus into the desires and the will of God. We also get a new peace, a peace that no one else can understand. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is Jesus talking to the disciples right before he's about to go and die, right before they're about to get scattered, right before they're about to be all alone. And he's saying, in the middle of the worst times of your life, you will have my peace because you've met me right here, because you've walked with me. We get a new focus. We have a new peace. And we have a new understanding of our potential. Think about the parable of the talents, where he gives the owner of the land gives his servants a certain amount of money. One gets 10, one gets 5, one gets 1. And the one who gets 10, he goes out and doubles it. And he comes back and he says, look what I got you. I doubled your money. And the master says, great job. I'm proud of you. And the second servant, the one who gets 5, does the exact same thing. Good job, I'm proud of you. And the one who gets 1, he buries it in the ground. It's like, I don't want anyone to steal it. I need to keep it safe. He brings it out when the master comes back, and then he's like, hey, I kept this for you. Master looks at him and goes, that's not what I gave it to you for. I wanted you to go out and double it. I wanted you to go out and make something more of it. And while, yes, that is a lesson on good financial stewardship, it also applies to yourself, your spirit. God has made you uniquely in his image. And if you believe in Christ, you have his spirit within you. Don't hide it under a bush. Oh, no. Let the light shine. So, we were made to be more, but also we realize that we're made to see more. We're made to see more of God's will, to see more of his purpose, and to see more of our own potential. And when our lives and desires change, when we begin to see more, we start to live on purpose. We start to live urgently. We start to want what God wants and preach the gospel and talk to our coworkers and say, you know what, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to go up and have that conversation. Think about that movie that we saw, or the clip that we saw. In that movie, on I think it's the first day of class, Robin Williams has everyone stand up on their chairs and teaches them this phrase, carpe diem. And if you know what carpe diem, on the count of three, if you know it, shout out what it means. 1, 2, 3. Seize the day. It means seize the day. When we live our lives, when our lives change, our desires change because we've experienced the cross, we start to want to seize the day. It's going to be amazing. Ecclesiastes 3 has that same idea. Live life to the fullest. Seize the day. Make your day your own. We live urgently, but also because our desires change to be like God, our hearts change to be like God too. Secondly, God gives us burdens. What do you mean by that, Jake? God gives us burdens on our hearts, things that just don't sit right in the world. Things that are wrong with the world that we strangely become passionate about for some reason. We're like, this needs to change because it's not how God designed it. It's not the way that God wants it to be. An example in my life was when I was 17 or 18, I was in my youth group, and my youth minister was like, hey, I just want to let you guys know about a fundraiser that the church is doing. It's a running fundraiser to help end human trafficking. And he was like, I'm running the race, and it's called 30 for Freedom. And the options were you could run 30 miles, a marathon, half marathon, 10K or 5K. And I was sitting there, and, you know, I barely knew what human trafficking was, but it was explained to us. And while I'm sitting there just listening to that, it just broke my heart. And I don't have any connection with it. No one that I know personally has experienced it, but that just really weighed on my heart. That this is not right in the world. This needs to stop. That was a burden that God put on my heart. So I went up to my youth minister and I said, you know what, man? I'm taking a step out in faith. Whatever race you're doing, I'm doing. He goes, all right, I'm doing the half marathon. I've never run before in my life. And he's like late 30s, so I was thinking maybe the 5K or the 10K. But he was, I did the half marathon. I did it. I called him a week before. I was nervous. I was like, dude, I haven't even reached 10 miles. I'm not going to be able to do this. But we did it. And part of the motivation on race day was, one, the adrenaline of race day, but two, remembering what I'm running for. I'm not just running to run. You're not just living to live. God gives us burdens that we just have to take action. We have to do something about. And thirdly, we begin taking risks, like running a half marathon when you've never run before, or having uncomfortable conversations, or talking to Kenneth and saying, hey, I've never done missions, but something about this location, something about these people, something about the situation that they're in is just weighing on my heart, and I just want to take a risk. Or talking to your Bible class teacher and saying, I don't understand this. Can you help me understand it more? We begin to take risks because when we find our purpose in God, we see things the way that He does. We change to be like Him, and that's been the goal of Christianity since the very beginning. So we know that we were made for more. We were made to be more. We were made to see more. But don't forget, you have to apply it. You were made to live more. We're always looking for our purpose in life. Everyone here, like I said, you all know that you have one. You may be asking, what is it? Ephesians 1, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12 says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. Our purpose, your purpose, no matter what field you want to go into, no matter what school you want to go to, no matter what job you want to go into, our purpose starts here. It starts here and it ends here. And the beauty of God is that He lets you do other things in the midst of that. Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells us exactly what the goal and the purpose of our lives are for, what it should be, what God has made us for. This is the end of all matter, that all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty, or this is the whole purpose of man. Glorify God and keep His commandments. And later on in the Bible, Jesus expands on this in the same way. He knows we want fulfillment. He knows that we want things to make us happy in life. And He says, that's okay to want it. But you know what we need to do? We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then everything else will be added unto you. And then later on, so, Paul gives us the practicality of it. In Galatians, he tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you were working for the Lord, not human masters. And as I wrap it up, I want to give this little nuance. You know, you don't have to have it all figured out. Look at the disciples. Do you think at the beginning of their ministry, when they met Jesus, they knew that they were going to be the leaders of the church? No! They were fishermen, tax collectors, but they all started somewhere. And when they started walking with Jesus, when they started wanting things the way He wanted it, when they started changing their desires, when they experienced this and the transformation of this, that's when they stepped into their full purpose, their full capability. They had to trust that God had a plan for them. They had to faithfully follow Christ to see how to do it. And they had to believe and walk with the Spirit to carry out their purpose. Discovering our purpose can only be found through a process with the Trinity. Amen? And as I close, I want to let you know what it looks like. It looks like living every day on purpose. Wake up each morning and choose to find your purpose in God. Seek to please the Father to further his kingdom by telling your coworkers, friends, classmates, and family about what he's done in your life. Spend time in his word. If we want to be like him, we have to know about him. Pray with him. If we want to be like him, we have to talk to him. And spend time with the church family that he set before you. If we want to be like him, look at others who want to be like him. Seniors, you're at a point in your life, I know that some of you are around somewhere, but for the sake of the image, seniors, you're at a point in your life where you have to ask yourself this question, now more than ever. What am I going to do? What's my purpose? And there is no set right answer. I felt a calling to be a youth minister when I was 17. But I promise you, even if I decided not to do it, not to follow that, God could have been glorified in my life. And the same applies to you. God gives you a direction to walk into towards him. It's not one line that you have to follow, and if you take one step this way or one step this way, you're done. It's like a meadow that as long as you stay within the fenced area of God's will, you can roam and enjoy life as God intended. You're all going to walk different lives, but just make sure that you're all walking in the right direction. Church, you were made for more than work. You were made for more than pleasure. You were made for more than money. You were made for the kingdom and the king, to glorify it and bring the good news to the rest of the world. When we realize this and we realize that that's our purpose, we walk towards the king, towards his throne, we will find everything that we need and more. And if you're not here and you're not sure about your purpose, if you're not here and you're not sure about God, but you're hearing this message and you're like, I want to live on purpose. And I think it can be found in Jesus. I want to start here. Come talk to us. Find a shepherd, find Robin, find myself. And let's start that conversation. Because once we find our purpose in that, nothing else matters. Worship team, you can come on out. Church, live on purpose and realize that you were made for more. Let's stand together and worship.